Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Good morning. It is morning. It is Saturday morning. People know that we record this on Saturday morning, 8:45 a.m., and this is why the Red Bill helps.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, actually, yeah, you're recording in Mountain Time. So, and I'm in Mountain
Time
too.
Where are you today?
Edmonton.
That's Mountain Time.
I didn't know Mountain Time.
Central Time's the best time because you get to watch the shows the night after the nightly news. You get to watch the late shows, but it's still not that late. So,
yeah, that's right. All right, so we are on episode 609. Going to continue our conversation that we started on episode 607, where we talked about the great sort and how churches are going to sort themselves ideologically or have sorted themselves ideologically and politically rather than theologically in light of all that has happened over this past year. So, Ed, And once again, listeners, listen to 607 if you haven't already,
because it kind of builds on this, right?
You need foundation. That to know this. Yeah, it does. So, in light of that conversation, you talked about this idea of, okay, you know what, 30% of the growth or the change.
I think it was 30% of the people who were the new people of the church were saying they came because of some of those reasons. Yeah.
Yes.
And it could be either direction. It could be people who were mad that they were too strict or less strict, like different directions.
Yeah. So if you're a church that and you're listening in and you're like, you know what, actually, I think I've got some of those people. And at one point you're like, oh, it's incredible how many new people we've got.
Yeah. I was in Phoenix, and the guy's like, we've had like hundreds of new people. We're having revival. And I said, well, I mean, tell me. He said, we just decided not to follow the state mandates and we just opened up and the Lord has blessed. And I said, well, tell me about the people who are coming. He says, well, you know, they're coming from other churches and serve. It's like, yeah, that's not revival, man. That's just reshuffling. So, but anyway.
Yeah. 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 So as a pastor, what are you to do, right? How are you to shepherd all of these new people who've come? And then we can also then address those on the flip side, you know, how do you address those who've left?
I think it's tricky. So, first of all, I don't think you should have casually disregarded mandates, but that's another story and that's past. Right. Yeah. So, and people have different opinions and I get that people have different opinions. All right. So but they're here now. So what do you do now that they are here? And I would say, you know, there was a season in one of the churches I pastored where there was a big conflict at another church in town and a bunch of people came from that church to our church and they didn't, you know, they had, you know, there were different, you know, the whole story wasn't the story that people came telling, but I think I had to sort of sit down with the people and say, you know, we're not the church of masks, right? We're not the church of anti-masks. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And if you want to come, and you want to be a part of our church, you need to recognize that there are going to be things you disagree with. And early on, you can sort of tell. So what I would typically do is say to people, I need you to go through our membership class. And very quickly, you can find out people who are, you know, they got strong opinions and they don't want to do what you want them to do anyway. So, you know, just recognize that not everyone's really going to make that transition. And, you know, they're excited because you did blank, but make sure they get the whole story, the philosophy, the DNA, the passion of your church, so that they cannot define your church as your church is the church that didn't mention George Floyd or did mention the riots or didn't mention January 6th.
No, you don't want to be known. Right? You don't want to be known.
Exactly. So and again, that's part of the problem, though. I mean, because here's the thing. I mean, some of these churches saying they're experiencing revival. I'm thinking of a specific pastor that's not the most famous pastor, but a pastor in California. Probably not the one most people are thinking of, but his church, it's just exploded. And it's like there's this revival. No, dude, you you basically said every other church in town was compromised. You invited people who felt that way, and a significant number of people felt that way. They came to your church, and man, I just don't think that's going to end well for you.
Yeah, yeah, we have a church like
we've all seen the church like that. It made international news. So just out of interest, I mean, you may not want to, you know, mention specifically because it's in town, but have you seen some of your people head on over there because they were upset and about your decisions to follow the mandates?
Yeah, it's, man, as I reflect on what you've shared last episode and this episode, it's interesting because, you know what, we have had hundreds and hundreds of new people since the beginning of the pandemic. Yet at the same time, we've had people leave. I don't know if it's in the hundreds, but I do know people have left. And obviously, because we haven't been in person with our entire congregation. But the other side of it all is that we've been walking through succession.
That's true.
Lead pastor succession for the last 2 years. So that's the other dynamic where it's hard to tell.
Yeah, so I'm actually here. I'm at Cherry Hills Church recording today. And preaching. Okay, I'm preaching here Sunday. And I've been helping him out. I've preached, I don't even know, 8 or 9 times. Because, you know, Calvary, our interim, is still meeting every other week until the fall, and then we go on in person regularly. New York City is very different, you know, very different. People there, you know, the sirens went 24/7, and you know, there are 50,000 people died in New York City. So, but it's interesting because people, you know, the church had a split, and people, we don't know who's left because you've got pastoral transition. You've got, you know, a new church came out of that. You got the pandemic. And so I preached at Saddleback the last Sunday before they went to in person outside. And I asked Rick, I said, you know, so what do you think happens? He said, I have no idea. I have no idea who's coming back. You know, and I the words of Andy Stanley in that podcast really resonate with me. My podcast, it's Stetson Leadership Podcast, you know, where he talked about, he'd been pastoring people. You know, I know people have strong reactions to Andy Stanley. But he'd been pastoring these people for 20 years, but because they decided to pause worship through 2020, I forget what he said, was it 10-15% of people of the church who maybe have been pastored for 20 years? So you already kind of know who Andy Stanley is, right? So that they're like, well, I'm out over this. So really, this is the thing? Wow. So it's weird. So did you, you know, because I talked about the great sort last time and more here today. So it seems less so in Canada, but you tell me if that's true or not.
Yeah, you know what? I think I don't know if it's less so. Maybe it's covered less in some sense. And obviously there's 10% of the population. Canada is 10% of the population of the States and likely less Christians percentage-wise too. But even when you think about it from that perspective, I think this just gave people the opportunity to change and to leave. And people have perceptions and misperceptions precisely because, you know, as a church, I mentioned George Floyd, right? I mentioned him and we prayed for him and we prayed for the riots. And you know what? There's a residential school in Canada last month that was discovered with, you know, more than 100 bodies, like hundreds of bodies that have were buried. And that was just, and then churches spoke up about that. And so for Canada too, it was like, are you going to speak up about that as well? Or not? And then, so it's just so interesting how, and then also with the rise of cancel culture, it's like, if you don't, as a church, are you going to be canceled? And are your church members now canceling you based off of how you reacted in one situation over the other?
Dude, it's complex. It's complex. So I talked to a church, a prominent pastor, like one of the probably top 10 churches in the U.S. I didn't like his answer, so I'm not going to say who it was. I wasn't bad, but here's what he said. He said, we mentioned George Floyd and we started doing some conversations on racial reconciliation. They're in a southern U.S. city. You know, their church is, you know, predominantly, you know, much more Anglo. But he said that after doing that, we got such backlash, we decided not to do that anymore. We were just going to talk only about biblical principles. And I love biblical principles, but I also said, but don't you think you should apply those biblical principles to specific situations? So, you know, they kind of regretted saying George Floyd's name because it got so much pushback. And here's for me, and this is a key thing, and this is really tricky. I'm not saying you say something every single issue. Every time there's a reported incident, because first of all, a lot of times they don't come back to be true, right? You see, you don't know all the facts. So what I would say is don't rush. You're not an ongoing public commentator.
Yes.
But
yes,
the world, yeah, I mean, you're in Canada. The world saw George Floyd die. And your African-American sisters and brothers were like, do you care? And I think it's the right thing to say. Yes, we care. Yes, we want to learn and we want to understand more. So I think what I would say is I think it's a bit of an easy path to say, and we'll just talk about biblical principles. Well, okay. Yeah, I literally preach through books of the Bible. And when something creates a global conversation, millions of people in the streets protesting, I think ultimately the church needs to have a voice in the midst of that. And for me, James Meeks and Charlie Dates asked me to come join them in a faith leaders march. And I was like, of course I'll come join you in a faith leaders march, right? These are followers of Jesus, right? James Meeks is on the board of Moody Bible Institute and they're going to have a faith leaders march. I'm going to stand next to them. People get mad about that. So at the end of the day, I think God's call on our life is primarily to make disciples, as pastors, make disciples, preach the word, reach people for Jesus. But I would say Billy Graham said the greatest regret of his life was he chose to say what I just said, similar to what I just said, and then to sit out the civil rights movement. And I just think ultimately that we can do better. We can learn from his example.
Yeah, yeah. The newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other.
Yeah, right? that's kind of a famous thing. I would say the Bible held up high, And the newspaper maybe on the table. That's something like that. Yes.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. All right. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today.
And I got one more thing to say for your sponsor. I got one thing for you. Here's the danger with that statement. I'm not against that statement. I've used that statement. They're not equal. And I'm going to be in the Bible 99% of the time. But sometimes something, and 2020, what a train wreck year. I said four things in 2020, 2021. And maybe it's one thing a year in normal contexts, commenting on a public event. It's not common, but there are times to speak up. Now to our sponsor, who I have no idea who it is anyway. You actually know, or do you like add those things later? Who is our sponsor?
No, I know.
Downline Ministries. I think I did something for Downline Ministries out of Memphis, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to them. Jesus' final charge to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet, many Christians today struggle to understand what this means for them, and many churches find it difficult to equip the saints for the work of ministry. For the past 15 years, our friends at Downline Ministries have partnered with local churches by equipping men and women to know God's word and make disciples in the context of their homes, their churches, and their communities. They do this through the Downline Institute, a 9-month training program where students are taught Genesis to Revelation, biblical manhood, womanhood, and practical discipleship training. So if you long for a greater knowledge of God's word, a clearer vision for making disciples, and a strengthening of biblical discipleship in your church, check out the Downline Institute. In-person and virtual training options. Downline is offering our listeners $100 off of the tuition costs. Just use the code LIFEWAY when you apply at downlineministries.com. Now back to the episode. All right, so last question before we stop, and we're going to continue this conversation on our next episode, but how do you deal with those who've left? Some of them you know, because they made it known to you that they were leaving, and others, you're looking at your membership roster and you're like, where in the world did they go?
Yeah, it's hard. I would say that don't write them off. Part of me wants to say, well, they chose ideology over theology. And maybe that's partly true, but there's still people that you love and you have pastored. One thing that a pastor once said to me, you got to remember, you're pastoring a parade. People come in and out of a parade. You ever seen a parade? People join the parade, people drop out of the parade.
Yeah.
And you got to focus on the people that God has you in the parade at the moment. And so, I think part of it is, if they have the conversation with you, we all got a lot of those calls, when they call, hey, we'd like to meet. Well, are you meeting to tell me you're leaving? And what I would say is, they say, like, I'm coming because I'm leaving because you mentioned January 6th, but you didn't mention the summer riots. And what I would say is, I would tell them why. And in my case, I mentioned both. But you might not mention summer riots, and you mentioned January 6th. You might say, well, there's a difference. On January 6th, they prayed in Jesus' name, and I felt it necessary for us to distance ourselves from them. That's not who we are, and that's what we believe. And furthermore, no Christian is in favor of the riots last summer. If you needed me to be against the riots last summer, you don't know me. I was against the riots because I'm against crime and destruction and hurt and pain, and people died. So, you know, so we don't condemn everything. We don't have to get up and condemn war. We all against war or terrorist bombing. I don't have to get up and say, I'm against 9/11. That was wrong. Everybody knows you're against 9/11. Everyone's against riots. So, you know, you can, in my case, I had mentioned both. Actually, our faith leaders marched against both, marched against injustice and against rioting, because we marched through black neighborhoods that had been decimated by riots. That we stopped at a pharmacy on a high rise where African-American senior adults would get their pharmaceuticals, and now it's all gone because of the riots. Anyway, so I would tell them why. I would think it through and say, and if you want to try to encourage them to stay, I would even say to them, and listen, I've been your pastor for 15 years. It's pretty stunning to me that because of a cultural situation that you want to leave our church. It makes me wonder, I wouldn't maybe say this strongly, but it makes me wonder why this? You know, someone tweeted, and I love the tweet, it said, I've known people who've left their church because of politics. I've never known people who left their politics because of their church. And wow. I think that's so, so important. You know, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-religious liberty. I'm pro-immigrant refugee. I'm pro-racial justice. And man, my church doesn't fit into any perfect political party. And I think it's okay to say that maybe your choice should be driven more by theology and less by your ideology.
Yeah, love it. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode on episode 611. We're going to continue this conversation by talking about how do you now re-engage your congregation over the summer and into the fall? Because I love that you're pastoring a parade. So how do you pastor those who are with you and get them re-engaged? Well, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.